Hello, and thanks for joining us for Soulpreneur Sessions. I'm your host, Yvette Luciano, helping you live your purpose, lift your platform, and leap into prosperity. If you want a career, business, and life that feels good on the inside, not just looks good on the outside, then you are in the right place. Welcome home. We are thrilled to have you here. Get ready for an inspiring session with one of my personal favorite yoga teachers, Michelle Merrifield. Michelle is the founder and operator of the very popular Essence of Living Yoga and Pilates Studios and the International Teacher Training Academy on the Gold Coast. In this Soulpreneur's Masterclass excerpt, Michelle shares really great business guidance for yoga teachers, Pilates instructors, personal trainers, and let's face it, anyone who wants better time management, a clearer vision, and more motivation to keep taking action. We chat about how Michelle fits it all in and maintains focus and clarity on her outcome and direction. We talk about her top tips and guidance on insight and on what she wishes that she knew at the beginning of her business. Some non-negotiable success steps, including a great team, the importance of contracts, and avoiding expensive mistakes and bad advice. Learning to come to peace and accept the fact that you are not for everyone. This is a hard but really great one. How to decide which training, education, mentors, and teachers are right for you. How to effortlessly attract clients and students and keep them inspired to stay with you. We talk about money. We talk about really realistic ideas and expectations of income for yoga teachers and other health and wellness practitioners. And you'll probably be surprised at what we discuss there. We also talk a little bit about the future of health and wellness and the industry in general and where we believe it's heading to. So let's start now with Michelle sharing how she fits it all in.
That's a really good question. It's funny because people ask me that all the time. Say, Michelle, my gosh, how have you managed to do so much? And there's a really great saying, and a lot of people call it time management, but I actually like to call it personal management. And I think that's a really important key, is that it's not just about having a time schedule of, you know, how you're going to do things, but to really manage yourself and hold yourself accountable. And I think the reason why I now do so much is that both professionally and even like personally, is I think that I just am super clear of my outcome of what I want to do and where I want to go. So I think that's really important to be, have like a laser focus of where you're going, but then to set yourself up like a timeline strategy of, okay, I want to have, for example, a book, I want to have this completed within 6 months. And so then to step it out each week of the next 6 months, what day and time are you going to allocate to the creation manifestation of that book? And then the personal management comes in where you really actually have to hold yourself accountable to that and to actually do the work. And I think that's a big one, because for everyone, life gets in the way. Like, I mean, it's going to happen to all of us. But so you've just got to really stay committed to your big picture, because there's always going to be other to-dos and daily drama that's going to get in the way. And so for me, it's always like, okay, well, this is happening. That means I've just got to stay up later tonight, or I've got to get up earlier this morning. Like, I'm one of those people that will, like, I literally will have, sometimes when I've got a crazy, maybe 12-hour day, I've been known in the past, okay, that means I have to rehearse my presentation for 1 hour between 5 a.m. to 6 a.m., and I'll be practicing my speech before then I start my day at work. And so, but that's just kind of what you've got to do. You just got to hold yourself accountable and just really stay disciplined and committed to your big picture, not to the daily grinding to-dos. And I think if you keep that vision for the big future, I think that's how you fit it in. You just got to be committed to whatever that is that you're working towards.
Excellent. And what is there something specifically that works for you, or that you've seen work for any of your students? Is it, you know, whether it be vision boards or visualizations, or what do you find really works for you to help, or what are some tools that you might recommend that can help people stay committed?
I think for me, if I'm completely honest, it's like I think your driver has to be bigger than yourself. So your mission, whatever, or your vision, whatever you've created, for me, it's always been about how can I serve others? How can I give more to others? And so that has fueled my flame. It hasn't been about me. And I think like anyone who's driven by supporting others or for a greater purpose other than oneself, will that sort of inspires you. And I think that's probably the reason why I've been able to do so much, because I've always thought, oh my gosh, I really want to share this, or I really want to give this to people, or I really want to, you know. And so that has been my motivator and my inspiration. It's not about how can Michelle be bigger, Michelle be more successful, and Michelle this. It's always been about them. And so that's why it's helped me. Another important thing which I learned many years ago was procrastination will kill everything. So just whatever you do, just do it right then. If you can do it now, do it now. I think that really helps. But yeah, I think if your vision and your mission's for someone or something greater than yourself, that will always motivate you and keep you in alignment. And I just keep channeling into that, like, why am I doing this? That the why question.
So looking back, what are five things or a handful of things that you wish you knew when starting your business?
That's a really good one. I think there's so many things, but one thing is the importance of getting a really great team of experts in your team. So I think because bad advice can cost you thousands of dollars, like, and it can actually send you through just the ringer, to be honest. So just make sure you get really good advisors around you, a really good team around you, because I've learned this the hard way numerous of times. And you get professionals, and you'll get, you know, people who are meant to be amazing advisors just give you the wrong advice, and it can literally cost you tens of thousands of dollars, someone telling you the wrong thing. So just make sure you get a really stellar team of advisors, because you're only as good as the advice that you get. And then also make sure your team's really good too. Like, really, you know, you're not going to just go hire your friends. You're actually looking to hire professionals, because when you have a really professional team, that's obviously in alignment, you know, with the ethos of your business, but they just, the efficiency and the like, and the results that you get when you have that stellar team compared to just having your friends who also do those things is astronomical. And I've definitely learned that over the years, just hiring people I knew who did those types of things. But these days I just go straight to, you know, great professionals, and you pay extra, it's true. But you do get what you pay for in life. And so that's definitely one thing that I wish I had known earlier, was about, you know, I'm only as good as my team. And so get a great team. Another, because I always used to think I couldn't afford it. And then when I realized once I got that stellar team, how much more you actually make. So they end up paying for themselves anyway.
Yeah.
Another one is this, I learned, I'm just giving you some of the hard lessons I've got, so hopefully you don't have to experience them for yourself. But and even though we're in like that health and wellness or that spiritual world, I've definitely learned of a business not to take anybody's word for their word. And that might sound a little bit cold, but I've learned this a really, really painful way as well, financially and even emotionally. And so I get everything in writing now, like everything, like contracts, everything, even with, you know, people who I'm really close with, everything's contract and written, because just for whatever reason, people don't always follow through. And it's really helpful if you have it in writing. So that's just definitely something that I've learned, because I'm naturally such a trusting person. And I used to just take everyone for their word. And then I got rolled pretty severely quite a few times. And so I think I've learned to put everything in writing. So that's really important. Another really good one I would like to share is that as much as we all want to be loved and liked, not everyone's going to love you and like you.
You know, like you could be the juiciest, ripest nectarine on the tree, but not everyone even likes nectarines. And so just to know that as much as we want to be loved and we want to be accepted by everyone and we're doing all the right things and we're doing a great job, some people, for whatever reason, still won't like you. And to start to get comfortable with that, I used to be a real people pleaser and always used to want to be liked by everyone. But I've since learned over many years that that's just not even reality and not possible. People won't like you just because they don't like your hair, or they don't like the way that you talk, or, you know, just for whatever reason, as superficial as it can be. So just to get comfortable in yourself, and that comes all the way back to knowing that you're always there to serve and your intention's always pure and you're always working for the greater good. And so just to sit comfortably in that, and if someone doesn't like you, that's okay, because what you're doing isn't even about you. So you can rise up above someone else's judgment.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a really important one for me. That's what I found anyway.
I want to just quickly laser in on some questions specifically for the yoga teachers or fitness instructors in the class. So what are some tips that you have for yoga teachers starting out, and how do they find the right training? What's your advice on that?
I think finding the right training is really important. It's a bit like what I said with the expert advice. You're really only as good as your teacher. And so I think it's really important to invest the time researching different teachers before just doing any old teacher training. And I think it's important to also be mindful of, when doing a teacher training, don't just look at the teacher and their skills and their success, but look at their student success. So how successful have their students been, and how great are they? Because being a great teacher and being a great educator are two different things. And I've definitely learned that, because I've done so many teacher trainings myself. I just came out of a week-long 50-hour tantric philosophy teacher training last week, and I've got another one in 2 weeks. Another 100-hour teacher training that I'm doing. And I think it's really important for me to find people who are great educators and who can transmit the teachings in a really succinct, clear, sort of almost tangible way, so you can take it and run with it. And so I think it's just important to do your research and go and do classes with not only the teacher, but with their teacher trainees, if you will, or people who have studied with them, just so you can see, you know, the quality that comes out of a course. So that's definitely something. Yeah, it's something, just because you want to, success leaves clues, you know, that saying. So just go with where the teacher's coming out, because there's a lot of teacher trainings where people graduate and they never teach. And so you want you need to do a training where the people graduate and they actually go out into the industry, and, you know, they either open up studios or they teach heaps of classes, they're in high demand, that type of thing. And I also believe that just it depends on what you're looking for in a teacher too, because, I mean, as you progress down the rabbit hole of this particular practice, at different times you'll be looking for different things from different teachers. And so, you know, just wherever you're at, you know, like they say, when the student's ready, the teacher will appear. And so just trust in your intuition and follow your heart with whatever it is that you're trying to go deeper in, and find the teachers who have a great depth and years of experience behind them, sharing that knowledge. And that's, I mean, as you said earlier, I've flown all over the world, spent over $100,000 just in yoga teacher training, learning from the greatest teachers living today, because I just wanted to be close to them. And I just knew that if I wanted to be the best, I have to learn from the best. And so I think that's really important, just to, don't go with what's convenient or what's closest or what's cheapest. you know, really value yourself and really value the training.
Absolutely, because there are so many different, you know, there's a new yoga training course or class, you know, popping up constantly at the moment. And you really want to go, you know, treat this as a really serious, not just financial investment, but energy investment. And that the, you know, the more that you invest of yourself into the right training, that's just going to, you know, you're really setting your career up for a really beautiful, and professional start, I feel. So,
absolutely. Well, and I mean, there's different types of trainings. Like there's some trainings that you can go to, which are an amazing sort of more self-indulgent spiritual journey for oneself. And then there's other teacher trainings that you can do that are even like are super specific in creating brilliant teachers and facilitating great classes. And so just look into that, because some of them are more personal development and then some of them are more practical in generating and creating great teachers. And so just look into that depending on what you want.
Yeah, absolutely. And once the teacher has the right training and they're starting to get out there and want to attract people to come to their yoga classes, or if they're a fitness instructor, to their fitness classes, what are some suggestions that you have to attract people to the classes?
It's really interesting, because I often say to my teacher trainers, you don't actually get to choose whether you become a teacher or not. The students choose you. And that's quite a humbling thing to consider. And because sometimes our ego gets involved that I want to do this, I want to do that. And I think what happens is when you've done enough work and when you've spent the time and you've dug really deeply in your own practice and your own self-inquiry and you're living the truth of the teachings, then the students will appear all over the place. I think the more congruent you are and the more you light yourself up in the sense of purify yourself and align yourself with the teachings, you'll become like a lighthouse. And then people will be so drawn to that, they'll just want to learn from you and they'll want to see what you're doing and they want to go to your classes and they'll just follow you everywhere. So I think the number one step is to do the work for yourself, is to really invest in your own personal development, in your own spiritual practice, and commit to the practice yourself, whether it's fitness training or, you know, yoga teaching or Pilates teaching, whatever it is, just really do the work yourself so you can really walk the walk. And from that place, you're living inspiration. And when you're living inspiration, there's never a time where you're not going to have lines of people lining up for you. Even if you're qualified or not qualified, they're going to line up anyway, because they're like, I don't care, I just want what you got. And I think that's really important.
And I think that applies to everyone, no matter what their vocation is.
Absolutely.
That's great advice for everyone.
Because some people, you can have all the certificates and all the qualifications, but if you're not living it and you're not that lighthouse and you're not lit up yourself, it's the only way you can be inspiring is if you're being inspired. And so you have to keep, you know, inspiring yourself and keep learning, keep evolving, keep digging deeper, keep questioning, keep researching, keep exploring. And then like you've always got like your fruit tree is just abundant and you've just got so much fruit up there that it's just like, I've got so much to give now and everybody can see it. And they're just like, I want to go wherever they are.
Yeah. And that's so beautiful. And when the new yoga teachers start getting people arriving at their classes and things start to really step up, how much realistically can yoga teachers these days expect to make at the beginning of their careers, or, you know, and where does the income come from? Because I know that from previous conversations with you that, you know, most of your income, if you looked at it as a sort of pie chart or something, people may actually be surprised how much of it comes from actually teaching a yoga class versus the other things that you have, like the retail and the academy and other things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you're just like a sole trader and you're starting out, my suggestion for you, the key is if you're just like running your own little ship, is it's one on many, not one on one. So the more people, as Napoleon Hill would say in Think and Grow Rich, it's like the more lives that you can change for the better, the more the universe will reward you and support you. So if you're just doing one-on-one work, you're only going to get so much return. Whereas when you do one-on-many, you get a much greater return. So I think the key is, you know, start your own little group classes if possible, opposed to just one-on-one. Because if that one person cancels on you, you're out. Whereas you've got one-on-many, if that one person doesn't turn up, it's no big deal. So you can make a much better income you're running group classes. And I think also maybe start looking at doing workshops. Workshops is another, you know, do two or three hour little workshops where you can, you know, charge more and get a group of people in as well. So, and you can do just like one weekend workshop, like a 1 day workshop, or you could do a Saturday, Sunday workshop, or you could do like a 6 week consecutive workshop. Other things that are usually quite profitable is doing corporate gigs. And so you can go into an organization and get a 10-week contract. And then for, you know, because it's one on many. And so it's the largest sum. And then you have a 10-week contract with a corporate gig. Working in studios is like your bread and butter. And I think as you're a more popular teacher, as you start getting results in the sense of having full classes, I would go in, and I always tell my teacher trainers to do this, I would go in and negotiate for more money. And I tell all my teacher trainers to go in and negotiate for more money if they're getting results, because I said, you're worth it. Just go in there and say, I said, and just ask for more money. And literally they always get more money, and they call me up, oh my God, Michelle, I went in and I did it, and I asked for more money and they gave it to me. And I'm like, see? I think it's just knowing your self-worth, but you can't go ask for more money if you're not getting results. And so then that comes all the way back to doing the work yourself and you know, digging deeper and self-practicing and studying and learning and investing and giving. But when you're getting results, you can ask for more money. So my business with my staff, it's all commission with no ceiling. So the more popular a teacher you are, some of my staff make $150 for a one-hour class because it's so popular. And so the more popular you are, the more money you make. If you don't get lots of students, well, you're not going to get a lot of money. And so I reward my whole business model is based that way. So that's why I can always keep great teachers, is because I pay them accordingly. Now, most businesses don't have that model. But, you know, because I'm that type of person, I would want to get paid more, because I always put myself in the shoe of my employee. You know, how would I like to operate? I'd like to work in a business that would reward me for my efforts. And so that's how I pay. But you can also, you know, there's no reason why you can't set that up for yourself where you work. And just, you know, there's no harm in asking. Like, what's the worst that's going to happen? They're going to say no. Well, that's okay. Yeah. When you start getting results, well, then you just... I mean, not to be disrespectful, but you can just say, okay, well, I'm going to leave, and as long as you've got something else lined up somewhere else, and go to a place where which will give you what you're worth.
Absolutely. And before we wrap it up, could you please share what you see in the future of the yoga industry? Obviously, it's just continuing to boom, which is amazing. What do you think we'll see more or less of?
Yeah, I mean, in the whole health and wellness industry, if you look at the forecast that's been put out from all the business reviews over the next 15 years, the health and wellness industry is the biggest, fastest growing industry of the next 15 years, which is so exciting. And it's all health related. And the problem is because the reason is because we've got an aging population, we're living older, and then not only that, but we're actually getting sicker. And so we need more health professionals that can take care of the aging and the people who aren't healthy.
Now, I can't think of a better practice than people who are doing things like yoga and Pilates. It's low impact, it's stress reduction, and it's moving the energy, and it suits old people and it suits people who are unwell. And so that's why it's so exciting, because more and more people are coming to it. And the reason why I think yoga is so special is, I mean, depending on where you practice, but typically it's an internal practice. It's not about going externally. Typically it's not in front of a mirror. Typically, you know, you're not looking at anybody else in the room, and you're just, it's an inward practice of self-exploration and self-discovery and self-transformation. And there's so much richness because our senses are continuously drawing us out of ourselves. It's, you know, our five senses are the root cause of our suffering. And so, because we're always looking or listening to everything outside of us, whereas yoga inspires us to sort of soften our senses. And instead of looking externally, we turn internally and we get more in touch with our true nature and who we really are, beyond all the external labels and all the external drama that's going on. And we have an opportunity to feel who we really are in our essence. And I think people tapping into that more and more with a world that's spinning so fast externally is just so soul fulfilling, if you will. And that's why I think yoga is just, it's been test and proven for 5,000 years. I mean, half the yoga, the physical practice, has been done for 2,500 years. It's not going anywhere. It's not a trend. It is more popular now since Krishnamacharya brought it out, you know, 100 years ago. But I really do feel like it's here to stay.
Thank you for your time and joining us here for Soulpreneur Sessions. Please remember to subscribe for updates and share this episode with your friends. Soulpreneur Sessions are created especially for you to live your highest purpose. So please let us know what future episodes, topics, or guests would be most helpful for you. Or if you do want more info right now about the Soulpreneur courses and coaching available to you, please visit soulpreneurs.com. Or email us at team@soulpreneurs.com. We love you. Have a beautiful day, and we will catch you next time.